are now less than a week away from the inaugural CHL USA Prospects Challenge presented by Kubota. Last week, I sat down with TSN's Director of Scouting, Craig Button, to talk about the new event. Hey, everyone. My name is Scott Van Kuna, and in my conversation with Craig, we discussed the upcoming CHL USA Prospects Challenge, emphasizing the importance of international competition for player evaluation and development. Craig tells us how players can showcase their skills in different roles. We talk about Team CHL captain Porter Martone and the significance of leadership within teams, the expectations for both Team CHL and Team USA, and Craig explains how the experience can impact player growth, the overall excitement about the event, and how fired up he is to watch it. Here's Craig Button. Okay, I'm thrilled to welcome back TSN's Director of Scouting, Craig Button. Craig, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Scott, and I'm thrilled that you invited me back. So the fact that we get a chance to, discuss a lot of different things with the CHL, including the prospects game coming up, always an enjoyable time with you.
Well, I'm happy you said that because, like you said, Prospects Challenge coming up, and I've been talking a lot about it recently, and I talked to some CHL players. I've talked to some players from the USNTDP, so we might as well keep going with that. You know, the CHL USA Prospects Challenge comes up at the end of the month, London and Oshawa. What are your thoughts on this new event?
Yeah, I think it's wonderful. We saw the international calendar, and certainly when you have Canada versus the USA, we're talking about part of the international calendar. I was just in Sarnia for the World Under 17 Hockey Challenge. So to be able now, because, COVID, presented some challenges and the international calendar got affected. So now having an opportunity, and it's an opportunity for all players now to be able to compete, represent their country, and to test themselves against players from another country, in this case, Canada versus the USA and USA versus Canada. And I think as you go into your draft year, you're always trying to show your capabilities. You're trying to show what abilities you have. You're always trying to have put your best foot forward. Well, I don't know if there's a better opportunity to create that type of scenario for all the players. And players, I remind players of this all the time. You go out with the idea that you want to beat your very best all the time. And certainly, there's nights you're going to be better than others, but I've never seen a prospects game or an international competition where you have to encourage the players, hey, you know what, this is one of those games you might want to, really try to be at your very best or bring whatever you have. And certainly that is something that we always see in international competition and prospects game. And it'll be no different with the Prospects Challenge.
So as a former GM, then you like getting to an opportunity to see these games played before the Christmas break, as opposed to when we had the actual top prospects game that was in January?
Yeah, well, I think there's a couple of things that I would mention to it. When you're playing a prospects game just within your own league, in this case, the CHL prospects, it was good. There was nothing wrong with it. I mean, you have 44 players trying to show what they got or that number there and about that number. But when you represent it on a Canadian US thing, and again, I go back to the international competition, it just feels like it elevates the intensity. Not the intensity hasn't been good, but just goes up another little notch. And I think that that's really, really, really positive. So that's number one. Number two is that, as you're watching it and you're evaluating, how many times over the course of a scouting season, heading into a draft, do you get to see all these players on the ice together? And I'm not just talking about playing versus one another. I'm talking now about players from the Western Hockey League to get to play with players from the Quebec League. Now, we see that in international competition and at the U18 or the Hlinka Gretzky. But now, you get to say this player is going to play with that player and he's going to play against that player on the USA National Team Development Program. Not every evaluation, in fact, very rare is it that you get an opportunity to evaluate all these players in an environment and a landscape where they all can go head to head. And how you weight it, that's up to everybody, but it's an important event. And it's an event that I believe, like serves a real significant purpose for the scouting process. Because now you have a barometer, you have a benchmark. Oh, how did he do against him? Like, for example, okay, you're going to watch Will Moore play against Matt Schaefer. Well, you got a top defenseman in Schaefer, and then you got a top forward in Will Moore. Like, other than the potentially the U18 championship, you don't get that opportunity. And you're only going to get two opportunities with this Prospects Challenge. So now you look at it and go like, well, that's the top defender, like top forward. Like, how do they compete against one another? That's just one example. How do other players play with other good players within the same team? So when you get those opportunities that are far and few between and rare, you have to treat this Prospects Challenge as something that's significantly important, and it is.
Well, I was going to ask you how great of an opportunity it is to see how these players adjust to playing in a different situation. And I know this year it is basically Canada versus USA, with Blake Fidler being the lone exception as a dual citizen. But in future years, we might have some European players that are mixed in there, or other American players. But how great is it to have that opportunity to see these kids and how they're going to adjust in a different situation?
Well, it's fantastic, I think, you know, with respect to, okay, so the level of competition's higher, the quality of players higher. Well, if you're watching and assessing players, and we're talking now about the draft and all the NHL teams being represented there, they're trying to assess players for their ability and potential to perform at the highest level in the world, which is the NHL. So this opportunity for any player to be able to show that they can raise their level of play, that they can rise up to the level of competition and handle their own, that becomes really important. That becomes really significant. I will remind every single player, if you don't have your best game, it's not the end, and it shouldn't be the end, and I hope it never is in terms of evaluation. But again, you're going out, you put your best foot forward, you're always trying to put your best foot forward, and it's a small opportunity. But if you're looking at this type of an opportunity, it's a significant one. And I think for the players to be able to show that and be able to handle themselves, and even this, Scott, even if you come to this game and maybe you don't play at your very best or to the level you expected to, but you take that experience now and you go back to your league, and now you go and play and you show, hey, I learned from that, and now I'm going to raise my level of play here. That's a positive too. It's not like every player has to come there and score three goals, and you know the goaltender has to get a shutout. And it's about the experience. Okay, what did we get? And then continuing for the players, most importantly, to take those experiences and apply them, and continue to show that there's growth in your game. And my experiences are that the players do exactly that.
So, if you had a chance to go into the dressing room before the game and talk to these kids and these players, these future NHLers, what would you tell them that you're looking for out of them in this game?
Well, so there would be two things. And the first thing I would emphasize is your skill set and the type of player you are is who you are. Just go out and be that player. Go out and do the things that have allowed you to have success to this point in your career. It's a game. And it's a game where there's lots of eyes on you, and people are going to be assessing, and certainly you don't want to leave any, you don't want to fall short in any area. But don't go out and I say this, don't go out and play on your heels. Go out and play on your toes. Go out and bring your game. Whoever you are and whatever type of player you are, go out and show that. That's number one. Number two is understand that hockey's a team game. So, you know, the first 5 minutes of a game, 8 minutes of a game, first couple shifts for everybody might be a little bit choppy, might be a little bit uncertain. Everybody's a little bit tentative, but then settle in and understand it's just another game, and it's another game, and you've played lots of games and you played them at a high level of competition. If you look at the players that have been and that are going to be in this game, they've played in gold medal games. They've won gold medals. They've been in significant competition, you know, OHL cups. And so it's not like they haven't been in a situation where they've had a big spotlight. So they have to understand, okay, yeah, I know what my skills are, but I got to show that no matter where I'm at in the game, what situation is, who I'm playing with, that I can take my game and then make sure that it melds with the team game. Those are the two things I would tell the players. And if a player makes a mistake, if I'm the coach too, I'd just say, hey, don't worry about that. No player tries to make a mistake. Just go out and keep playing. Keep being who you are. Don't worry about it. Mistakes are going to happen. They're part of the game. They're always going to be part of the game. Don't dwell on it. Pick up, learn from it, and get out there and play.
Is that the kind of thing that the scouts and the GMs are going to be looking at? You know, see who can rebound from a mistake, who can adjust better from playing the role that they're used to with their club team? Because obviously, there's going to be some guys that are going to be playing down in the lineup. Some guys are going to be playing in positions that they're not used to. Is that sort of what the GMs and scouts are looking at as well?
Yeah, it's another aspect that you're looking at. It happens when you go and represent your country in international competition. You have a real talented group of players, and if you have seven centers, well, all seven of them can't play center. So some players are going to have to find a way to play in different roles. Some players have had that experience already of doing exactly that. But absolutely, you want to see how players can handle different scenarios. Different scenarios being playing with different players, playing maybe in a different position, being asked to do a different type of role. Those are all things that are really important with respect to showing you can do that. And certainly the NHL teams are going to be looking at that and assessing that. And we used to tell players, Scott, when I was working in the NHL, like a forward, for example. So if you have four lines, and you would say to a player, "Okay, there's 12 boxes here. How many of these boxes can you play in?" The more boxes a player can play in, and everybody wants to be a number one center. I get it. But if you can be a number two center, or you can be a number two left winger, or you can be a third line, right winger that can kill penalties, the more boxes you can play in, the more opportunity you're going to have, and the more valuable you're going to be.
Right, because not everybody can step into an NHL lineup and play a top six role right away. Well,
Exactly.
let's focus on Team CHL because this is a CHL show. So, and I know you're very familiar with everybody on Team CHL, especially having seen them at the U17s and the U18s, Hlinka Gretzky's. How does all of that international experience, how's that going to help them come together in an event like this, and not only for the team, but also for Chris and the rest of his coaching staff as well, who's been at three straight Hlinka Gretzky's.
Well, for Chris, he understands that, there's going to be, players are going to be playing in a different position. And I think one of the things that Chris has demonstrated in a real significant way is that, you might be asked to be on the third line, but your value to the team and your value through his eyes and his lens is going to be every bit as important. So, for a player, it goes back to the player assessment. Don't get fussed, okay? Like again, so there'll be some players that play on the power play and some that only play on the penalty kill, and that's just part and parcel of when you go up a level or you go up to. The good thing is that Chris is not going to look at players and not value them wherever they play in the lineup. That's number one, and that's important. Number two is, these players have had a lot of experience doing exactly what you just said. So it's, one of the things that the Program of Excellence does with Hockey Canada, it's the same thing the USA National Team Development Program does too. They get these players at 16, and when they come into U16, U17, like some of them are still 15 years of age. But part of it is just about helping them grow, helping them understand that, you come in here as a good player. But there's going to be some players that are going to play an offensive role. Some players are going to play in two-way roles. Some players are going to be a little bit more defensive. And that's all part and parcel of what these players have gone through on both sides, CHL and U.S. National Team Development Program. So that is such a positive that these players, they're not just like thrust in. They haven't just been selected and go, okay, we're going to have you play in different positions. And by the way, Chris has coached just about all of these players on Team CHL, over the course of the last two Hlinka Gretzky tournaments. And when you think about Greg Moore with the USA national team, he got these kids in September, in the beginning of September of 2023. So he's helped them get to this point as well and helped them understand that every role on a team is important. But the players, having had that, and I think it's really important for the players to have had that experience, having gone through it and have had success. I think that that all, they go hand in hand with respect to the process of not only understanding it, but then applying it.
What about the guys like Josh Ravensbergen and Carter Bear who haven't played in the program of excellence yet, or Lakovic and Carpino, who, you know, they haven't had as much experience at it. I know Lakovic, obviously, he got to play at the Memorial Cup, so you take that over going to the U18s. But how is this going to help them in their draft year and with gaining more experience?
Well, it's going to help them, Scott, and in this regard too. The other area it's also going to help other players. Just because you haven't been part of the program of excellence doesn't mean that people aren't watching, and they're watching all the time. We see it time and time and time again. You know, you might not have been given the opportunity at 16 or 17, but just because you haven't been given doesn't mean that you can't show that you're deserving of the opportunity. The players you just mentioned, I mean, Ravensbergen last year in Prince George Prince George was a very, very good team, and he was a big part of that. You know, Lakovic, they won a Western Hockey League championship, and then they go to the Memorial Cup. So those experiences, Carter Bear was on a really good team in Everett, and he's on an excellent team this year in Everett. And I think that it's got to buoy their confidence because they see, hey, my play is being recognized. And what I've done to this point in time is something that I put a lot of work into, and it's something that now I'm getting this great opportunity. And so it's not only helping them, it's also helping other players that I deserve to be there. And maybe you do. And there's nothing wrong with feeling that way. But keep playing. People are watching and everything, which brings me back to Chris. So Chris Millett, like, he understands now, he's played against Carter Bear, he's played against Ravensburg, and he knows these players. And, you know, now he can sit down with them. And again, I use the word incorporate them into a team. Good coaching is not just X's and O's. It's, again, incorporating players. And Chris is outstanding at this. You're really valued. Here's what I need from you. Now go out and do it.
Like you said earlier, nobody's going to have their draft stock hurt by playing in this game. But are there a couple of players that you look at and say they could probably help their stock quite a bit in this game?
So how I would position it that way, and there's all kinds of players. So I'll use a couple of examples. I think that how you look at your stock is you go, whoa, I better get in there and watch that player. That player is pretty good. You know, and so that's how you improve your stock. Your stock now becomes this, you know, like if we, oh, we better watch this stock. And now, because you've shown what some capability, and keep in mind, there's a lot of players that the NHL scouts have, that they've seen more of some players and a little bit less of other players. So when I say go out and do what you do best, go out and be the type of player you are, and now the scouts are going to say, well, we better get in there and watch that. I'll give you an example, and I've used this example, I think it dovetails perfectly to what you're talking about. Summer of 2023, Hockey Canada selected the Hlinka Gretzky team, and you know every year, you know, there wasn't a tryout that year, but so they selected the team based on the information and knowledge that they had. So every year, you know, it doesn't matter what year that team is selected, there's hand-wringing, oh, this player should have been there, that player shouldn't have been there. And it's not that anybody's wrong, but that's what happened. So what happens is they get the team, and what do they go and do? Oh, they go and win. So you can't really quibble with the fact that they picked the wrong team. But if you weren't on the team, it doesn't mean doors are shut on you. And this is the example I use. Beckett Senecky, TJ Ginla, Jet Luchenko. 3, 6, and 13 in the NHL draft in 2024. They didn't make that team. Did it hurt them? It didn't hurt them. What they did is they went out and they showed. And so now Anaheim was paying attention. Utah was paying attention. Philadelphia, they're all paying attention. Everybody wants good players. So just continue to show that you're a good player. Just because you don't play just because you didn't play. It didn't hurt those three players. And that's what I would say about some of the players. There's going to be a player or two or three that maybe the expectations are a little bit higher and people are going to leave and go, oh, geez, I expect a little more from him, or I thought he'd be a little bit better. That's okay. Like, again, it's not the end. It's just one evaluation. And there's going to be some players where they're going to raise eyebrows and they're going to open eyes. And that's what you want to do. And then you continue on. And to your point, it's not that it hurts anybody, but how do you help yourself? And again, it goes back to your first question. Know who you are as a player. And then go out and be that player. And do, you know, if you're a player that plays in a straight line, Carson Wetch, I'll just use Carson Wetch because, you know, he is the captain with the Calgary Hitmen. He was a third round draft pick in the NHL last year. And you watch him play. Carson never tried to be a dangler offensive guy. He knew what he was. I'm going to block shots. I'm going to kill penalties. I'm going to be strong along the boards. I'm going to be a forechecker. Cole Beaudoin was the same way. Like, Cole Beaudoin is never going to be your number one center, but is he going to be valuable on your team? Darn right he is. And can Carson Wetch be valuable on your team? Darn right he can. And Chris Millett knows that. And, you know, whether it be Chris Millett or be Gardner McDougal, you know, those two players won gold at the Linka Gretzky, and they won gold at the U18. Embracing the role and understanding who they are and what they are. So when I keep coming back to know who you are and then be that player. And don't try to be something you're not, because that's not going to help you. But, you know, so there's going to be some players that are, like I said, it's just part and parcel. Oh, I was expecting a little bit more. Or, wow, did you see that guy? And that's where you really, again, get traction. And what I would try to remind every single player in this game, try to get more traction. Try to get more traction. How do you get that traction? Be who you are and do what you do well.
Well, with all that said, what do you think will be the strength of this team CHL?
Well, Scott, it's funny, and I laugh and I chuckle because I go back to the Hlinka Gretzky team that won in 2023. I go back to the U18 team that won gold last April in Finland. And all you have to do is look at that group of players on this team. What do I expect? Like, forget what I expect. I know what they expect. They expect to win both games. They expect to go out there and show that not only are we good players, but we're a good team. And they've done it time and time again. You know, I Matt Schaefer, Jack Ivankovic, you know, they won gold with Team Ontario at the Canada Winter Games. Then they go to the U17 and they win gold there. Then they go to the U18 tournament and they're part of a gold medal winning team. And then they come to the Hlinka Gretzky tournament this time and they win gold again. I can guarantee you, and they're just two guys, two players. They don't think anything other than we're here to win. And if you go back and you just dot it down and dot it all the way through, it's mass. I mean, you had Spence and you had Martone and you had Misa all play on that Hlinka Gretzky team. And they were good players, Porter Martone. They were all good players on that team. And they've continued to show that they're good players. Like, quite frankly, you know, Team USA who play together and have an opportunity to play. But people say, oh, the big advantage for Team USA is going to be that they play together. Just go look at how many of these players have played together and had the biggest success when they were playing together. So I don't think Team USA has an advantage over CHL, and I think it's just the way it is. And the CHL, I mean, this doesn't mean they're going to win, but the CHL level of talent is higher than Team USA for this year's iteration.
Well, you're kind of shooting my argument that I've been saying since we announced this event, that I thought that Team USA would have a slight advantage in the first game because they play together all the time. Although I do recognize that, yes, all of these guys have played together for the most part at various levels with Team Canada. One of those guys,
Can I talk to him. Scott, I want to add one thing to your comment too.
Yeah.
And the coach that's coaching has coached those kids. It's not a new coach. So I think that also helps as well with Chris coming in and having coached him and part of it. I think that that becomes really, really important too. Listen, I don't have any. It's going to be competitive, and I'm not saying it couldn't finish 1-1 or two, one team could win two or the other. I'm just looking at it and just saying I think when you go and look at Team CHL, you go look at all the everything that they've done together over it's pretty impressive.
And one of those players that has been very impressive so far this year is Porter Martone. You know, I talked to him earlier this week about being named Team CHL captain, and obviously he's captain in Brampton this year. I became a big fan of his last year. Talked with him then, got to know him a little bit, watched his game. I really enjoy the way he plays. Even bigger fan of him now, and the way he seems to be able to elevate his game every time he puts on the Maple Leaf. So I wasn't surprised that he was named captain of Team CHL, but maybe from your point of view, why was he an easy choice to be named captain of Team CHL?
One of the things I think you just said was his ability to raise the level of his game. So let me go back a little bit in time. At the 2023 U18 championships, which were in Switzerland, and so now you have a player. He was a young player at that time. He came into that team more as a fourth line player. And all he did was just keep showing, give me more ice time. I'll be a penalty killer. And it's hard. You know, you're going up a level and now you're playing best on best at that age group. And I thought Porter just, and when I say knows who he is, Porter knows who he is. And Porter's going to bring that game. And he's got tremendous qualities all through his game. So when watching him there, they end up winning bronze. Sweden had a real good team there. And obviously they lost to USA in overtime that year. But, you know, when you watch a player do that, okay, so then that will carry forward. Then he goes to the Hlinka Gretzky. And he's a factor there. Then he was the captain of the U18 team that won gold. And I mean, he had 20 points. I mean, I think he had 20 points. Yeah, I mean, you think about how he led that team. And when you get into international competition, not every game is going to be easy. And to me, what you have to do as a team and you have to learn. You have to learn, okay, because that's what it demands it. Okay. Well, how do we get better? You got to get better over the course of the tournament. I just talked about Porter in 2023. Well, last year, you know, he's a leader on that team. And now he's going to take everybody and say, follow me. I followed others. And now follow me because I'm going to show you. And the games get hard. And the ability to adjust and adapt and still be at your strength and to recognize important moments in a game. And to not only be good and not only to be competitive, but to be settled. This is the way we're playing, gentlemen. And that's like, it's one thing, so much of the time, you know, we hear leaders, oh yeah, the big speech, rah, rah, rah. More times than not, most times, leadership is about showing how it has to be done. Follow my example. And I think Porter sets a great example. And again, if you need to block a shot, he's going to block a shot. If you need to get in front of the net and pay a price, he's going to do that. If you need to if you need to grind a puck out along the wall, he's going to do that. When I watch Porter Martone play, I see no weaknesses in his game. None. Zero. And he's big and strong and competitive and skilled and smart and a leader and edgy and physical. Quite frankly, you know, that's why I see him, in my view, through my eyes, as the best player for the 2025 draft.
How could you not want to follow a guy who, you know, one of your highest skilled guys out there, and then he is doing all the dirty work as well, and you know, is just a guy that you want to follow. But he said one of the keys for the team and that he's learned on these various Team Canadas that he's been on is to get everybody together as a group and not have everybody separated by QMJHL or WHL and OHL. And just listening to the maturity from him and knowing what he needs to do as the leader of the team to get everybody to come together and come together quickly. How much do NHL teams know about that kind of stuff? How much do they learn about that kind of stuff of players and look for that kind of thing?
Well, they learn and then they know. And it's incredibly important. So let me take you back a little bit to April, the U18 tournament again. So Porter's the captain. So Roger McQueen, who is the center between Porter on the right and Gavin McKenna on the left. So he gets hurt in the first game, and it's unfortunate because, you know, Roger's a really talented player. What does Gardner McDougal do? He takes a young 17-year-old Kayla Desnoyers, and he says, I like my other lines. I'm going to put Kayla Desnoyers in the middle there between Porter and Gavin. This is what Gardner told me. So this isn't me. This is Gardner telling me. He goes, first of all, Caleb's a really good, smart player, but I knew Porter was going to be able to bring the best out in Caleb and help him just settle in and be the player that he that we needed him to be and that he ultimately was. Now, that's the coach. I don't know what more you needed. I knew that Porter was going to help him be the best he could be. Like, if that's not the definition of a leader and somebody that's just going to bring everybody in, like, nobody was, like, but the coach knew that. The coach knew it. And that's what Porter's all about.
So you're saying that Porter brought enough out of Caleb to bring Gardner right into Moncton.
Well, listen, yeah, here's what I would say about Gardner. Gardner would have had any number of choices to go anywhere he wanted because he's a superb coach and he's a superb person. And obviously, you know, Moncton's pretty close to Fredericton where Gardner's been for a long time. But, you know, when you go into a situation and you know the one player, yeah, I think Porter helped Gardner feel comfortable about going into Moncton.
Well, we also have, so we talked about Martone, but we also have got guys like Misa and Spence and even Ravensburger, and that they were all at that summer under 20 evaluation camp, and now they're all looking to get invites into the selection camp. So we know that Hockey Canada's brass are going to be watching these games as well. What are they going to be looking from those guys and, you know, the other players to get invites to that selection camp?
Let me preface this by saying there's going to be a lot of good players not make Team Canada this year for the World Junior. The 2005, 2006, and yes, the 2007 group of Canadian-born players, it's three excellent cohorts. It's significant how good they are. So, you know, everybody's vying to be on that team. Everybody, first of all, you're vying to get invited, then you're vying to make the team. And the reality is that the opportunity for Team Canada brass to select the team from so much talent, this doesn't happen very often, and it's going to happen for 3 years in my view. So, you know, I preface it with that. I go back, you know, there's going to be different roles. Malcolm Spence has been a terrific player. Call him a third line player, a penalty killing type player, a catalyst type player that can be disruptive and on the forecheck and not allow teams to come out of their zone easy, create turnovers, be that, when I use the word catalyst, be a player for turning games back into your favor. And, you know, coaches talk about piling up shifts, stacking shifts. Well, what you need is you need players to go out and establish what we want to stack. So if you're Malcolm Spence, if I'm talking to Malcolm, go out and do that. Go out and be that. When he went to the Hlinka Gretzky, you know, he wasn't a frontline offensive player. At the under 18, he wasn't a frontline offensive player. But his importance on the team was significant. So go out and be that. Michael Misa, you're coming into camp. I think one of the benefits, if he gets invited to the camp, but one of the things Michael's shown, he was a top center with the Mississauga Senators. They won the OHL Cup. And then he goes to Saginaw, and he's a left winger. Had lots of success, part of a Memorial Cup winning team. Now he's back in the middle. So Michael's already shown that I can be really good on the wing and in my natural. But so again, flexibility, like understand, like for Hockey Canada to know that Michael Misa. Not, I always say this, Scott, and I do. I always say this. It's not about saying you're willing to take on a different role. Everybody's willing to take on a different role. You got to embrace that role and you got to perform that role really well. And I think Michael showed that at the Hlinka Gretzky in 23. He absolutely showed it with Saginaw. And now back in his natural position, I mean, he's been brilliant for Saginaw this year and amongst draft. So when we talk about that, like, go out and be that guy. Like Matthew Schaefer, just to bring him up as a blue liner, you know, go and play. Like, you're a great skater. You got great poise. And Matthew Schaefer, to me, doesn't have to go out and dangle or flash and dab. Just go and be the player you are, because the player he is pretty special. So you don't have to be more than you are. Just be who you are and bring it. And I think that I don't have any question that Matt will do that. For a goaltender, it's a little bit different. I think for goaltenders, it's just trying to get them settled into their game, you know, and there's going to be goals scored. But, you know, once you get settled into your game and if a goal goes in, then, and I saw that from Joshua at the UA, at the summer showcase in Plymouth. He got into a game and he would be the first one, I'm sure, to tell you he wasn't at his best. But he went in the next game and he was really good. And you're watching. And to me, just from a scouting lens, that's a really good positive sign. I'm not going to let what happened then impact me now. And I think that the sign of maturity, sign of growth, and that's what you want to see. A goal goes in, okay, park it, learn from it, move on. And there's times when you can't do anything about the goal. There's other times you could have, but you can't dwell on it. You move on. So that's what I would be telling those young players, and that's what I think you're looking for from those. How do you stay settled? How do you know, everybody wants to score. I get it. Everybody wants to do that. But if you're going to try to do things that are going to compromise your team game for your own objectives, personal objectives, that's not going to get you anywhere. It's not going to get you anywhere. You know, you hear coaches talk about, you know, be above the puck, be below the puck, you know, make sure that you are doing the things that are going to be, because as you rise up, and we talk about the World Junior Camp, that's a high level of competition under 20. It's the highest outside the NHL. So you get there, there's the margin for error is very, very small. So if you want to start putting your personal objectives into there, it's not going to get you a look. I can guarantee you that. Now, that doesn't mean that just because you get caught in the wrong position that it's going to harm you. But you can't take that approach that, like, well, I'll show them. Just play your game. I know it's easy for me to say. Just play your game.
I think I'm going to clip that answer, and I'm going to play that to my son's hockey team.
Yeah. Know who you are, Scott. Like, you know, like, know who you are. People ask me often, they go, why don't you wear a bow tie? I think you'd look good in a bow tie. No, I wouldn't. I don't want, a bow tie isn't what I'm about. So I'm not going to wear a bow tie. You know, maybe somebody else thinks it's good, but it's not me. So I'm not going to try to be something I'm not.
I'm a bow tie guy, so yeah. I will
and
wear the bow
tie. You can pull it off. I can't. So again, when we talk about players, you know, one thing I just wanted to say really quickly too, that I'm really looking forward to doing this, because I watched them play. Will Moore, who's with the U.S. National Team Development Program, Malcolm Spence and Michael Misa were on that OHL Cup championship team with the Mississauga Senators. And here they are, you know, 2 years later, 2.5 years later, playing against one another. I pinch myself thinking how lucky I am to have watched the Silver Stick, to have watched them in the GTHL, and here they are now going to go competing against one another. Like, geez, they grow up.
Well, and who was on the team? Who was on the team they beat in that OHL Cup? Porter Martone.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The junior Canadians.
So yeah, it's fun seeing it come full circle.
Yeah.
Let's look a little bit at Team USA and just kind of the challenges that they will present to Team CHL. They just got back from a great showing playing against their own age group again at the Five Nations in Czechia. So what are some of the challenges that they'll present Team CHL?
Well, one of the things, and I think it's important, is, you know, their game, like, ultimately, so you know, like a CHL team that's trying to build for the playoffs and ultimately try to win a championship to get to the Memorial Cup. For Team USA, it's about, you know, when they come into the program, and this is September of 2023, so they're trying to get their feet wet. You know, they play in the USHL. It becomes a little bit at times challenging. Ultimately, they're trying to get their game in order so that they can compete for a gold medal at the IIHF U18, which will happen next year in Dallas and Allen, Texas. Frisco and Allen, Texas. And when you go to these tournaments and you're playing best on best, you get an opportunity to build your game. You get an opportunity to get into a rhythm. And for the coaches, in this case, Greg Moore, he's going to be able to see what players can handle things. Because you go to a tournament in November, there's no points on the board, right? Like, we're in the CHL, there's points on the board. Like, you got to keep piling up points, you want home ice, and there's no, they can singularly zero in on that U18. And they do. And they do a good job. And then they get all these tests along the way. So now that's their first real test, you know, at that they just went through at the Five Nations. So you come out of it, and the things that Greg's been trying to instill in the group, you know, you don't have to think about them now. You're just getting into it. So and the other thing that I will say about Team USA, and it's the way they play. I just saw their U17 team play. And it's just what they try to get in the group. They play fast. They play fast. And playing fast isn't skating fast. Everything they do, they want to move the puck quick, close on you defensively, get transition going. And if you're, again, I go back when we were just talking about what you want to see the players be able to adjust to. CHL is going to have to adjust to a pace of play that's very high. And they're going to put pressure on you in all areas of the game. Offensively, defensively, in the neutral zone, they're going to try to create turnovers, and now they got 14 months under their belt. They played against college teams. They got so that is going to be and you know, the thing that I'll be watching for right off the bat is how quickly CHL can get up to that to that pace, because that is they're going to force you up to that pace, and if you don't get up to that pace, you're going to have a lot of problems.
I'm not going to lie. I got pretty excited when I was talking to Asher Barnett earlier, and one of their captains, and he told me that they like to play fast and they like to play physical. Yep. And I just started thinking, man, this is going to be a really good 2-game series. We're in for a treat.
Oh, we are. And the other part of it too is everybody wants to prove. So you want to prove individually that you belong and that you're a good player. And then as a team, you want bragging rights. You want bragging rights. You don't think Will Moore doesn't want bragging rights over Malcolm Spence and Michael Misa? He wants bragging rights. And so Porter Martone's going, hey, listen, like I haven't lost in the last number of years. We're not here to lose. So individually, you want to show like that you're good and you belong in this category of player and that you're deserving of it. And all the players are. But as a team, you want to show. So we're going to go in and we're going to say, okay, who's the favorite? Who's this? Who's that? And everything. I think the games are going to be incredibly competitive. I have no doubt. And you know, it's going to bear out, like I said, the quality of player for Team CHL, it's higher. And you're going to see it in the NHL draft. But this isn't about the NHL draft or what players are going to be. This is about right here, right now. And to what Asher Barnett told you, the USA is coming in ready to show everybody. Oh yeah, okay. Because keep in mind, there's going to be like LJ Mooney. He's the only player that played for Team USA last year at the U18 championship. He lost to Canada. He lost to Porter Martone. And so all these players now, there's going to be players from the CHL group that are going to be at the U18s in Frisco and Allen. So the more you can establish that, like, oh yeah, we won the last one, it's going to be harder to beat us here. You want to establish your ground. You want to, you know, you talk about a dog taking a pee on a fire hydrant to just say, this is my turf. That's what these players want to do.
Yeah, there's no doubt there's not going to be a lot of work to get up for these games. They're definitely leaning into that rivalry for sure.
Are.
Well, let's shift gears a little bit. I want to talk a little bit about the CHL quickly.
Okay.
And just a couple of things. First, I want to ask what you believe, and I'm just going to toss out some names, but who do you think's had the most impressive start to the CHL season? And these are the names that I've got for you. I've got obviously Landon Dupont, who has 5 goals and 17 points, plus 15 in 15 games, 7-game point streak to start the season. And that was only topped by Bedard's 12-game point streak when he was an exceptional player. And then you got Gavin McKenna, who's tied with Michael Misa for the CHL lead in points with 39. Or how about Michael Misa, who's got the lead in goals and tied for the lead in points? Which one do you think has had the most impressive start in your eyes, or maybe somebody off the board?
Well, let's just stay with that trio of players because they're all special, and they really are. And you think about Landon, I mean, 15 years old, going into the Western Hockey League. I mean, first of all, you have that exceptional status applied to you. So expectations are already sky high. So what does Landon go and do? He goes and says, oh, yeah, you ain't seen nothing yet. I saw Ever play a game earlier this year, and I'm straightforward. I'm watching the game. If you did not know that Landon Dupont was 15 years old, you would ask yourself and go, why is he not in the NHL? I'm sitting back. This is how I'm sitting back and going like, wow. Like, you know, and I've watched Landon play. I mean, there was no question to me that he was deserving of exceptional status. I watched him play at the edge. I've seen him. And I was blown away. Then you have Gavin McKenna. Let me tell you a story. I was at a game in Medicine Hat, and they lost pretty badly to Prince George. And I know it's hard to say, and maybe he was. If he wasn't the best player on the ice in an 8-1 loss, he was one of the very – every time he's out on the ice, he creates something. And I know we look at the stat sheet, and, of course, Gavin was going to get his points and everything. But to me, in a game like that where he's – like, he's dangerous every time he's on the ice, you're like, wow, again. And we know the spotlight that's on him. And then how about Michael Mesa? Michael Mesa now coming off a Memorial Cup in his draft year, third year in the league, and – you know, I know that, when you think about Connor McDavid going into his draft year after getting exceptional status, Connor Bedard going into his draft year after getting exceptional status, you know, they were pretty much anointed as the number one overall pick. All Michael's gone and done is said, oh, yeah, you want to forget about me? You don't want to give me the credit due to me as a player worthy of that designation. And I think as much I love Carter Martone, I love James Higgins, I love Michael Mesa. I mean, there's no Connor McDavid in this draft and or Connor Bedard, but I think Michael Mesa can play that. So my pick for it is Michael Mesa. And here's why. Devin McKenna's on a really good team in Medicine Hat. Landon Dupont goes into a really good team in Everett. Michael, they lost a lot of players. And the expectations on Michael and the expectations on Saginaw, he doesn't have the same supporting cast that he had the last couple of years. And I think that Michael has taken that team and just said, you know what? It's my turn to lead. We talked about Porter Martone. Michael has taken it upon himself to say, okay, like I followed. I did my part. Good player, really good player. Now he's leading. And I've been really impressed. And I think there's another part to this that I think is really important for me to say. And I think it speaks to Michael's confidence. He told Hockey Canada this summer that he wasn't going to go to the Hlinka Gretzky tournament. I got asked lots of questions about it. And, you know, I said, listen, he plays his last game in the first days of June, long year ahead. And to get rested and to get prepared, he'd played in the Hlinka tournament. How do you ever grow? How do you get better? How do you, and I'm talking about off the ice. I'm just, like, you know, you just run right from one to the next, to the next, to the next. Don Sweeney and Jamie Lagenbrenner, I was telling them the story about him, Pat, because you get different comments. Blah, why would he do that? You try to explain. Well, I was talking to Don Sweeney, the manager of the Bruins, and Jamie Lagenbrenner, the assistant at the summer showcase. And they said, we want the players to develop. We know off the ice is just as important. And then when they go and do that, we tend to be maybe more critical than we should be. But Michael's confidence in saying, this is what I got to do for myself. Because think about it. Like, he plays June 2nd. I believe it was June 2nd. June 2nd. Now he comes right into the season getting prepared. Could be he's at the CHL Prospect or the CHL Prospects Challenge, this USAC, the Prospects Challenge. Could be at the World Junior Camp. The team's going deep, in the playoffs, wherever they go. If they go deep, he's there. If not, he's at the U18. Then he's at the Combine. Then he's at a summer development camp. Then he's at the World Junior Camp next year. Then he's at an NHL training camp. When's he going to get the opportunity to grow? When's he going to get the opportunity for the body just to, you know, take it out? So I admire him so much for having that confidence to just say, you know, this is what's best for me. And, you know, that's not easy for a young player to do because you want to represent your country. And he's not turning his back on the country. He just said, for me right here, right now, this is what I have to do. So I've always been impressed by Michael's maturity, but I think it just continues to shine. And he's serving notice. Like I'm a player that believes in himself, and you know what? He's going to show a lot of people that, like, hey, I'm worthy.
Yeah, and like you said earlier, he's played on his off, like he's played wing, it is out of position. He's played down in the lineup. He can be a shutdown guy if you need him to be. But now he's letting his playmaking and his scoring do the talking for him. He's been really impressive to watch. Now, you just recently put out your, I think it was earlier today, actually, you put out your top 10 very early rankings for the 2026 NHL draft. And I'd like to point out that 8 of those guys are from the CHL. So we love that. But what is it that makes Gavin McKinnon, you've touched on a little bit, but what is it about him that makes him the clear number one for 2026?
Yeah, well, I think he's a lot like Kucherov. And like the way Gavin plays, he plays with this assuredness on the ice. Yeah, John Wooden, who was a great basketball coach at UCLA, used to say, be quick, but don't be in a hurry. And when I watch Gavin play, the mind is so quick. And he's always looking for opportunity. And then when the opportunity presents itself, he's like a rattlesnake in the grass. He bites you, and it's poisonous. And it's too late after he understands what's going on in the game. He's looking to exploit those opportunities. He's a great stick handler. He's got great anticipation. He's an excellent skater. Everything that you need from a skill point of view. But the mind and the way that he looks at the game in terms of, like, that's like, he just probing. He's probing. And when those opportunities come, it's too late. He's taking full advantage of them. And everything that he does in the game with respect to creativity and imagination and hockey sense, I think comes from eminently from his exploit mentality. Like, I'm coming after you. And he does it in a way. He doesn't do it in a way that's like this great end-to-end stuff. He'll go end-to-end if he needs to. But he everywhere on the ice, I talk about that game when they played Prince George in Medicine Hat. You know, you leave the game, you're going, wow. Like every time I watch him play, I see something more. I see something added to his game. And I think he's just brilliant. I think he's so well-rounded. And, you know, Kucherov's one of the very best players in the National Hockey League. And I think Gavin McKinnon has a lot of those same traits.
Now, we've seen in the past where the late birthday guys, they in their draft year, they start to get picked apart a little bit more because we've seen them more and more. Is that something you could see happening where people are just going to try to find faults in Gavin's game, you know, next season if he's goes through what, you know, might be a little bit of a slump for him, but would still be above average play for most players?
I got asked earlier this year, I don't think he had scored. I think he had 6 or 7 assists. And I got asked, what's wrong with Gavin McKinnon? I said, nothing. So if you want to go to the game and you want to look at the stat sheet or you want to try to pick apart things, you know, there's no perfect players and you know, you understand it. But what Gavin is able to do, and I believe, Scott, that he is one of the very best players outside the NHL. Anybody, like any players that have been drafted outside the NHL, I think he's one of the very best players outside the NHL. So if you want to go... In all my years, I have never once heard a team draft a player and go, yep, you know what? We drafted this player and we're not sure about his skating and we're not really sure how well he handles the puck. And, you know, we're not really sure about his effort level. You know, like, you can pick apart anything if you want. I remember a number of years back, we were in the studio doing a game and, you know, back and forth. And I said, listen, I said, if you want to go find something wrong with a player, I said, I can go find Sidney Crosby and I can pick out 3 shifts where he did something wrong. If that's what your focus is, you won't have a problem finding 3 shifts where things weren't at their best. And the way I look at it is Gavin McKinnon is brilliant. You're right, though. Like, it'll happen. And, you know, we'll start to hear about, oh, what about this? And I guess it's just part and parcel of it. But pick apart as you want. I think... He would have been in the mix for first overall last year in 2024, this past draft. There's no, like, to me, he'd be number one in this year's draft. And to me, there's no doubt. And I joked about it. If there's a better player than Gavin McKinnon for the 2026 draft, just tell me where he is. because I'll get on my unicycle and I'll juggle at the same time I'm going to see the player that's better than Gavin McKenna. Because if he's, I'm not saying it might not be out there, but that is one special player.
Well, and we're going to have to wait another year to watch him in the CHL USA Prospects Challenge. But for this year, we've got Team CHL, we've got Team USA. It's November 26th and 27th in London and Oshawa. And we could have more than half of the first round of the 2025 NHL draft playing in these two games. If that's not enough of a reason why people should go and watch it, give me one more reason why they should go and scoop up the remaining tickets that are still there.
Well, number one, okay, so you just talked about half the first round. Probably, I'm going to bet probably more than that. Probably be on the high on the other side of half. So your choice is you can go and buy a ticket, a very good ticket to watch high-end competition in two great junior hockey markets in London and Oshawa. And the price you're going to pay to watch these excellent players all on one sheet of ice is going to pale in comparison to what it's going to cost you to go and watch them in the NHL. So go and watch them while the getting's good on ticket prices. And you're not going to find, you will never find another opportunity, Scott, any player, any person, any time to watch like at this type of competition, that many first round picks all out on the ice at the same time in a back-to-back berth here. You just won't get that opportunity. So go and avail yourself of a great opportunity at a great price in two great hockey markets.
And if you can't get to either of those locations, obviously catch the game on TSN.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah, but, you know, you want me to sell tickets, I got to sell tickets first. And of course, if you can't get to the game, you know, tune in. We'll have lots of great coverage and a lot of fun watching these players, because the one thing that I never get tired of is watching the group of young, talented players, you know, trying to show what they're capable of, trying to put their best foot forward, trying to impress, and most importantly, trying to do something to help their team win.
All right, last thing then, Craig. For Team CHL to skate away with the inaugural CHL USA Prospects Challenge title, they'll have to do what, other than obviously win the games?
What I would say is right now, I think the biggest thing they're going to have to be able to do to win is be able to, I talked about a little bit earlier about the strength of Team USA, the pace they play with, they're relentless, they're quick and they're fast and they're always after you. You're going to have to be able to handle it. So for Team Canada, for Team CHL, it's about getting into a mindset where everything you do is quick. Like going back for a puck, you got to be quick. Getting the puck out of your zone has got to be quick. Getting to position has got to be quick. Because if not, you're going to run into a whole lot of pressure. And you're going to be, what I would say is you're going to be under that relentless pressure, and it's not going to feel very good. There's only one way to do it. You're going to have to be quick in it. I think it'll be a great back and forth, but if they don't do that, they're going to be under siege.
Awesome, Craig. As always, I've stolen way too much of your time once again, but thank you very much for chatting with us, and look forward to seeing you in a couple of weeks in London.
Always a pleasure, Scott. You're not stealing any of my time. This is time that I enjoy immensely with you and trying to provide some insights to the CHL viewers and the CHL supporters that are so important for these young kids' dreams. So always a pleasure. So thank you for having me, and I really look forward to the two games.
See you in a couple of weeks. Once again, thanks for listening. You know the drill. Make sure you like, subscribe, and leave a comment. Let me know who you'd like to hear from as we continue to chat with some of the biggest and brightest names across the Canadian Hockey League.